And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. Chapter 13. And in our exercise of late, if we can, looking, and here are all the mysteries. We looked at mysteries. Matthew 13 has a special place for mysteries in chapter 13. And so therefore, in looking at that, keep in mind that the world system that we live in has no place for God. So if you think, understand that, the general world system has no place for God. Religion, Christianity, Christendom, but no place for God. No place. And the believers that seek God, come out of the world system. And then there's the third group of Israel. And Israel is there. Israel had a special place with God, for God, with God. The world system doesn't. So now I'm asking myself, chapter 13, Matthew, he's going to speak to them in parables, giving a little human illustration, going next to a truth. If you understand the illustration, at least you're in the direction of understanding the truth. So, in parables, that's what he's going to do to the people, the Jewish people. And in verse 11, chapter 13, verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Not given. The Jews. Now here they are, it's not given. Now here are the disciples, and verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed. Now, so people can read the Bible and not be blessed. But you need to read in order to be blessed and to enjoy God's wonderful grace. So therefore, in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's always going to help them. Here's the world system out there. Here's the Jewish people as a nation that are sitting there. And here's the disciples that have been with him learning. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, my question to myself is, why do they need parables? What makes them different that they need parables? So therefore, don't keep in mind Genesis chapter 3, and God in the Old Testament, what do we know? God dealt directly with people. Bring the people over here, talk to you. He talked directly. And Adam and Eve, he talked directly. They heard, little verb here, they heard his voice. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and Moses walked with God. And all three of those, Abraham, Noah, and Moses, all three plus the rest, they had a unique personal relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So they just knew God. They enjoyed God's, and God talked to them and helped them. That's what God did. Now, so when it comes to Moses, out come from Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then comes Moses, going to raise up the nation of Israel under his leadership. So now, having said that, in order to put that in a little movement so you see it, go to Deuteronomy and in chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in verse 34. Chapter 4 and verse 34. Or hath God essayed to go and take him, a nation, from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, or by a mighty hand, or by a reached out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you Okay, let's see if it says the same thing. Same thing. Now, verse 35. Before you in Egypt. Verse 35. Unto thee it was shown, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight, in his sight, with his mighty power out of Egypt. Now God is going to go in his wonderful way, and because of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's why he's going to do it. Israel is not where they should be at all, but the promise has to be kept to the seed of Israel as a nation. Now, so we go now, having said that, he made a promise, chapter 5. And in chapter 5, verse 2, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb, that's Mount Sinai. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, because they were not under the law. The law came by way of Moses. They were all trusting the promise of God. That's why God continues to work with them, work with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 3, and the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. And the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire, face to face. That's what he did. Now, hang on to that. Go over it if we can. Say chapter 5. As you know all these things. But chapter 5, picking up, please, verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when you heard his voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mount did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more. We shall die. Verse 26. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the God, living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have. You never heard that in Egypt. Verse 27. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. That's why the law came in, because they were going to trust God. They were going to do whatever God wanted as if they could do it, which they could not. And therefore you'll notice that we are going to have Moses. Moses, you bring it. And we shared that 100 times. Why is it good for us to bring it like humans? Like me, if God was speaking right now, if God was speaking to us, boom, we'd all be pretty sober. And in the process, it'd be different. I don't even imagine it, if God were to speak. But we doesn't. We like it when humans speak, because you're a human and I'm a human. And we can say yes and no. I didn't want to hear what he said. I didn't like what he said. I don't understand what he said, see? You can do that. You couldn't do that to God. You couldn't do that to God, could you? No, you couldn't. You wouldn't say boo. No. But for humans, that's why we like them. We like humans. They liked Moses. Now hang on. Hang on, we will hear and do it. Verse 28, the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the people, the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, you know this verse by heart. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would hear me and keep all my commandments always. Why? That it might be well with them and with their children forever. They had no heart. They had no heart. Consistent problem. They didn't have a heart for God. They just didn't have it. So now, and therefore, over to verse 31. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and statutes and judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess. Now, sliding back over to verse 27, the last two words in verse 27, I will hear it and do it. That's what they said. And so that's what they have to do. You have to do the words. You got to do the words. And you can't just read it. You got to do it. We'll do it. Okay. Verse 32. And you shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. And you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that purpose you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So, now having got that part, now back over, what are you going to do? You're going to do it. So when we read chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them. Little word, do. Do it. Don't do it. That reason you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, giveth you. So do it. Over if I can, chapter 5. You know all these things. I'm just reminding you. I'm reminding myself. Verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Do them. Do them. Do them. Chapter 6. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. That, why do you want to learn them? That you may do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you may do them. Verse 3. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Observe to do it, and to observe and to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now let's do it. Now, verse 4. Hear, hear, that's the key word we're looking at. He that hath an ears to hear, let him hear. That's the problem. Do you have an ear to hear? And verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one. One is three is one. One Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be found where? In your heart. But they had no heart. That's trouble. They have to be found in your heart. But you don't have them in your heart. You got them in your head, but not in your heart. Ah, there's a difference. There's a difference. Now, hang on. So therefore, with that in mind, over to Deuteronomy 29. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29, picking up, if I may, in verse 2. And Moses, 29, 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and all unto all his servants, unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet, having seen everything, having been involved in it, watching it, seeing it, being witnesses, verse 4, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Their unbelief kept them. And therefore, verse 5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes waxed not old upon you. Your shoe was not waxen old upon your foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God, and I have kept you in a most wonderful way, but you have no heart. You've got to have a heart. Chapter 31. And chapter 31, picking up, if I may, oh, you'll catch it as you know, in verse 12. Deuteronomy 31, 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates. What for? That they may hear. Hear ye. Hear. With the hear, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And they that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, to observe to do all the words of this law. Verse 13. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear with their ears. Why did God give you an ear? To hear. He didn't give you some things. He gave you certain equipment to live on earth. What happens, well, here I don't have mine in because I took it out for you guys so I couldn't hear you. You know, what can I tell you? Anyway, you can't hear. You need to hear. That's how we talk, communicate, live. You have to have ears and hear. Now, therefore, in chapter 31, and sliding down, if I can, verse 19. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me, said God, against the children of Israel. Verse 20, for when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and then they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then they will turn unto other gods to serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. Now, having said that, verse 21, and it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles have befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of your mouths of your seeds. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. I know what they're going to do. I know what they're going to do. They're going to fail. They're going to fail. They have no heart. You got to have a heart. They have no heart. David had a heart. David did. That's what marks David. He had a heart. Over to Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, keep in mind, Psalm 103, you'll pick it up just a note about Israel and Egypt. 103, if I can, verse 7. Verse 7, 103, he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. All they saw was the plagues. They didn't understand them. They saw them. They saw them. They blood, blood, flies, everything. They lived through them, but they didn't understand. Now, do that a better in another way. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And if I can, in verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. Now, so therefore, they didn't understand. They're there. They sat through the Sermon on the Mount, about 15,000 plus, but only a handful understood. Only a handful. That's why he spent most of his time not with crowds, with individuals. That's where you do it. The crowds, you're not going to get anywhere with the crowds. No, big crowds, yay! You're not going to go anywhere. How do you know it's not going to go anywhere? Well, look at our country now, and look at the world. We've had a lot of history behind us, and we aren't overly moving in the direction of God. We're moving in the other direction, against God, not for God. Now, having said that little bit, Psalm 78. And you know, Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. That purpose, the generation to come might know them, even to children which should be born that never saw anything of Egypt, never heard of the Red Sea. They're going to know it because I'm going to put it in writing, said God. Born. Verse 7, that they might set their heart and set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They were not looking to God. They were not trusting God. And what the problem was, you aren't handing it down, because whatever you went through, you have to teach the next generation what you went through, because they don't have your history. And if they don't help them with your history, they don't have any history. They just have the new history. That's what they have. And that's all they have. Who can talk about the Second World War, the Second World War, Cold Korea, anybody you want to do? See. No, you got to hand history down. That's how we learn. You teach them, and you do it with an understanding of God, God's wonderful person. Now, just think of your own growing up. How many times in your growing up did you grow up? And as you were growing up, you had the advantage or whatever of being brought face to face with the guidance, your people that guided, your parents or whatever, and they taught you. They taught you what God meant to them. What God meant to them. What God means to them. How important God is to them. How many times did you hear that? Did they share that? How many times? Forgiveness of sins. Yeah. God has forgiven us. As we sit, we eat our food, we pray, we just are there. Just going to keep popping out of my mouth. But without God's mercy and grace, where would we be? You see? Did you hear that? Is that how you were raised? See? If they don't do that, the next generation gets further and further away, like in the book of Judges. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and put them together in Israel's history, Jeremiah chapter 6. And in Jeremiah in chapter 6, just to remind ourselves, and in chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse Jeremiah 6 and verse 14. 6 and 14, Jeremiah. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, what were the priests, the prophets, that were not with God? They were against God. What were they saying to the people? That everything's all right. You don't need to really know God. You don't need to trust God. You don't have to do any of that. You just have to go and follow us as we do whatever we do and tell you. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 14. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, were they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the same time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And when I hit that, I always think about that. Do you know, when's the last time you saw someone blush? When's the last time you saw someone blush? It used to be, you used to blush, you know. But we've grown up, we don't have to blush anymore. We don't blush anymore. To blush. Just no doing. And you blush, oh boy. Now, so therefore, verse is sliding down. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken, hear the word here, Shema, to give an ear witness, to take your ear, as it were, and stretch it out to hear something, to stretch it out to hear. I want to hear it and to be an ear witness. Verse 16, but they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17, I also set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken, we will not hear. Verse 18, therefore, hear ye, O ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. If everyone else better listen, the stars and moon are listening. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. They rejected it. That's why. Why parables? Because they don't want my word. But they're my people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They're my people. Israel is my nation. I'm going to honor it. And that's what we said. We did that. I'll do it again. And God, we read it. God, and I meant to read it in Psalm 106. What? God said, listen, I was merciful. I'm going to judge them, Psalm 106. I've judged them and judged them and judged them. But I'm going to understand where they're coming from, and I will show my mercy when they go bad and they call to me, I will be merciful to them. Now, all of that, Psalm 106, what's so wonderful about it? When we pray for Israel, and here they are in tough places, and you say, well, they're just unbelievers like the world. That's true. That's true. But, God shows them mercy. Think of all their wars. And if you read anything of Israel's history with the wars, time and again, God gave miracles where the enemy was overwhelming and they beat them. Marvelous. And they're going to say it again. How God's wonderful grace is. Yeah. God said, listen, don't think I don't see them. And I am merciful to them through history. I am mercy. When they look to me and they will cry out, you bet your boots. If I was over there and you were there with them, they'd be crying, God, help us. Wouldn't they? And God would hear their voice and help them because he's merciful. They aren't believing, but God is going to take care of them until the end. That's what you know. Now, so therefore, as we said in verse 19, hear, O earth, I will bring evil upon this people. Now, having Isaiah in chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6, you remember the wonderful chapter, Isaiah's wonderful commission, as it were. And Isaiah, I'll read if I can. I'll read verse 3, little context. Chapter 6, Isaiah, verse 3. And one cried unto another, the seraphim, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Why? Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And Isaiah humbled. Verse 8, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. God has just did a wonderful thing in my heart. He cleansed me, forgave me, cleaned me up. Wow. Verse 9, And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. They are dead set against me, said God. They are not going to change. The Assyrians are going to have to come in and take over all 10 tribes. And the Babylonians are going to come in, take over the 2 tribes. Going to take them all away. That's what he's going to do. Now, and so here's Israel, here's Isaiah. That's what his job is, to bring judgment upon them. Then said I, verse 11, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there is great forsaking in the midst of the land. Wow, God, what are you going to do? I got a ministry, but God, there's no hope. You don't have any hope for me. You never said it, no. I told you, you're going to go, and you're going to speak my word, and they're going to go and shut their ears. Their ears are going to be heavy, and their eyes are going to be shut, and their heart is going to be dull and not good, not looking to me. That's what they're going to do. But I'm going to send you there, and you know all these things. For 40 years, Isaiah has nothing. 40 years of ministry. Nothing. The Assyrian captivity. That's all he got. And when Jeremiah, as you know, what have you got, Jeremiah? Nothing. What for? We're going into what? The Gospel of Matthew. The Lord Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem, and the Lord Jesus Christ is now saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but you aren't believing him. You aren't believing the king is among you. You don't believe. I'm only going to speak to them in parables. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. And that's why. Now, did you change? No. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the way to John the Baptist. Nothing's changed. Yeah, it's going right down the same path, all the way to where you yell, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so when you, Matthew 13, but when you go and to the end of the Bible, in Revelation, and to the church, how does the church, and you know without turning there, if you went to Revelation chapter 2 and 7 and 11, etc., each church, all the seven churches, what do we have? All of them have what? The same message. God says what he gives you. He gives you a diagnosis, a prognosis, and then a statement. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. Are you listening to what I'm showing you? Are you understanding what I'm showing you? Do you understand what I'm showing you? See, not just hear it. Do you understand it in your heart? Do you really? Is it taking hold? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Is it part of your life? And I don't. And that's what you want to understand. We can bring wonderful little messages that are very helpful. But it needs to become part of my life and your life. And I'm not going to bring it if it isn't part of my life. It has to come. But do it. You hear? Do it. Do it. I told you, do it. I didn't want you to just hear it. Do it. I gave you instructions. Now, having said that a little bit, he that has ears to hear. Now, sliding over if I can. Are you on your way? Well, on your way. You know John 5 and 39. You know the Lord Jesus said, listen, why are we looking at the Word of God? Because John, think it, just follow it now. You know it. Gospel of John 1:1. And the word was God. The Word is God. The Word was God. God, in all of his wonderfulness. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh. What? God put on a human body in a most wonderful way to talk to us. To talk to us. To make it easy. To fellowship with him. To talk to us. To be able to connect. To see it in a most wonderful way. And so therefore, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which once testify of me. So as you turn the pages, which is what we've been doing, to understand. And you know that in Luke 24 also, you know, fools and slow of heart to believe. The prophets, the Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, the Old Testament, all of it, Luke 24, 44, speaks of me. You can't read the Bible. It's my words. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Ah, God, you have taken those words, and you don't speak, no. You wrote them down. And I can read them. What am I reading? I'm with God. We're in the presence of God. I'm reading, God, your words. Here you are, quiet. Shh. Quiet. And here are your words. Here they are. Read them. Believe them. And do them. I told you, it's all about me. Get your, Matthew 11, 28, 29, get your learning from me. Get your learning. Learn from me. You want to understand. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, two places, I guess, that may help you. Over to 1 Samuel and help me. 1 Samuel, if I can, in chapter 3. And you'll remember, Samuel, as a little boy, was given to God, and he was raised inside the temple. That's where he lived. He had breakfast, lunch, and supper, and went to the bathroom. Everything he had to do, he did in the temple. That was his home. He's growing up, little boy. And therefore, verse chapter 3, verse 2. It came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to be laxed him, that he could not see very good. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie not down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord God called yet again to Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, and thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said, it's not me. You listen. Verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and talked and called as at other times. And Samuel, Samuel, then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And behold, the Lord said to Samuel, he gave him his prophecy against Eli, etc., etc. Now, "Speak, Lord." That's a little boy, did what? Paying attention to God. He didn't have to go to school. He didn't have to go anywhere. He just wanted to listen to God. That's all. Just a little boy. He just wanted to listen to God. And we, who are we? We're nobody. And who are we? We're just us. And God, what do you want? I want you to listen to me. Have an ear to hear. And I'll speak and help you in order to do what I tell you. Understand my word. Don't just get it. Understand it. And if you don't understand it, you say, "Well, don't matter." Well, I don't know. God's going to make a difference. Now, thus in closing, Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, and you know the psalm, wonderful psalm, we've done it many, many times. Psalm 81, picking up, please, Psalm 81, verse 5. "This he ordained to Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not," the little word here, a language we didn't understand. "I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands from delivering the pots, Egypt. Thou callest me in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in secret place, the secret place of thunder. I proved thee by the waters of Meribah, Salah." Here, there's your little word, "Hear, hear, hear, hear. He that hath an ear to hear. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee." What do you, God, we want to know about Israel. Israel, if thou wilt hearken, are you going to listen to me? Do you hear me? Do you have an ear? Is your ear reaching out to hear me? O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And then you know that, you've memorized that. Open my mouth, open thy mouth wide, 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 wide. Like eating a 3-decker hamburger. Wide, 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 wide. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. All you got to do is allow me to feed your heart. You just have an ear to hear. Let it get in and let it assimilate into your system. Let it get in. And you open your mouth. And as the little birds season, little birds and stuff being born, and what are they going to do? The birds come in. They're going to come in. And all the birds that are doing, they just open their mouth and you feed them. That's what they do. They're waiting. So the mother, the father, whoever comes in with the food, what do they do? They open their mouth and feed. And feed and take the food in. God said, why can't you just do that? What do you want to fight me, talk about everything? Why don't you just believe me? Why don't you just believe me? You know, sometimes you've been sick. Sometimes you've been sick and someone has to, and you can't do very much you're incapacitated. And in the process, you have to have someone feed you. Have to feed you. You know, may not like being it, but that's what you got to do. Now, what are you going to do when someone feeds you? I don't want it. No. What you do is open your mouth. I've had to say that. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. And you get the food in. You got to get the food in. Yeah, you got to open your mouth. Open your mouth wide. I'm looking to take it in. I'm not fighting it. I want to get it in and understand it. Therefore, verse 12, so I gave them up. No, verse 11. But my people would not hearken. They did not want to hear my voice. Think of Mount Sinai. And Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have subdued themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. I would have blessed them. Verse 16, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. I wouldn't have just given you barley or something, soybeans. I'd give you the finest of wheat, and I wouldn't just give you peanut butter. I'm going to give you jelly, honey. I'm going to make it. All you had to do was have an ear to hear, to take it in. But all we can all hear now. And it goes right past out the door, right? Not you guys. Out the door. All gone. What can I say? So God has to help us.